Meeting will come to order. The minutes will show that all board members are present. And we have previewed the minutes and have signed them for October 13th. And we are at OSU Extension Update.
Thank you, and very sorry we're late.
Is Barb here as part of your report?
No.
Oh. Okay.
Oh, Barb is here as part of my report.
Okay, okay.
Sorry, Barb. Come on up. Yeah, come on up. I completely forgot who Barb was.
Oh.
Sorry. Apologize for being late and somewhat scattered. I was busily collecting some quote requests this morning, and they came in at the 11th hour, and I was compiling them, and then, of course, got hung up at the security as I came in. But thank you, gentlemen, and happy November. Here we are again. A couple of things on my list. First, starting with we had a great OFA convention. Met a lot of new friends. Compared a lot of notes. OFA seems very pleased with what we're doing. Pleased that we could repeat 2 years in a row. We were happy with that, of course, as well. We had hoped that we would come away with a fair date that was more palatable, and we simply didn't. We had hoped that other fairs might move or shuffle a little bit. Nobody has, and it turns out that third week of August still looks the best for us. My request, of course, is that we select that date and use that date. Of course, there's a big asterisk that comes with that. I had a conversation last week or the week before with Bud at Port of Toledo. He really wants us on another date. I told him I simply don't see another better one. I'm sorry for that. I will continue to try to look for a better one, but at this point there simply isn't. Also, Jack has expressed some concerns about the total solar eclipse, and I get those concerns completely. Town is going to be crazy that weekend. We want to piggyback on that, and I don't share and maybe because I operate from a different perspective, I don't think that we're going to tax our resources to the point where we can't pull off an extremely good county fair on that weekend at the same time all of the people are in town to see the eclipse. In fact, we want to expand the fair to a Monday and provide an educational opportunity for people to come view the solar eclipse from the fairgrounds. I do understand that the county resources are going to be extremely taxed that weekend, and we will put some things in place on our end to hopefully kind of mitigate our need or in the understanding that that county maintenance is going to be scrambling with other things other than the county fair. We'll do our part to assure that we have everything set up ahead of time. But I think we can pull off two events. My hope would be that you guys would bless that continued third weekend of August for us. I did prepare just a list of the fairs so that you can see the difficulty that we have. Let me take one of those back. As I've said before, one of the difficulties that we have is we're really trying to smash 36 county fairs into about 9 weeks. If you look at September 2nd and 3rd over on the right, that's the Oregon State Fair that everybody is trying to get their county fair done before Oregon State Fair, with the exception of Gillam Lake and Harney counties that all have put things in place to do their judging the year prior so that they can send kids to the county fair the year after. And we could do that, although we can't do it in a one-year stint. We would have to miss a year at some point, and we'd want to set up the 4-H program to do that. We couldn't just enact it this year. The August 26th and 27th date where Curry and Sherman counties are, that becomes extremely difficult to get all of the fair entries in before Oregon State Fair, and it conflicts with the dog fair and the horse fair that happen at State Fair the week before the actual Oregon State Fair. So that's really not an option either. The week before that, August 1920, is the one that we're on. The week before that, you can see there are is really the busiest fair weekend of the entire calendar. I put in italics the counties that we feel conflict with our county or could potentially conflict with our county fair if we overlapped with them. Certainly Polk and Tillamook counties on that week prior would be difficult for us. We think we share a lot of those vendors, and a lot of the participants within the region would choose maybe to go to those other larger fairs than ours. The week before that is the Yamhill County Fair, also the Deschutes County Fair, which is the biggest county fair in the state. We're worried about that. The week before that is Washington County Fair, which is another big one. And then of course, we're getting so early in the season. We've got Lane County Fair, July 22nd, the Linn County Fair, July 15th, and any earlier than that, the growing season for the animals becomes very, very difficult. That's why you don't see many county fairs, and particularly the ones like Multnomah that don't really have an animal program as those earlier fairs. So with all that, I had hoped to come away with a better date. I simply don't see one. So I would ask that we make August, it will actually be August 18 through 21, the official date for the 2017 Lincoln County Fair.
So we do have a letter.
Yes.
I'm going to mention that. Yes, Jim.
I was going to ask a question about this. So Gillum Lake and Harney, basically what happens is in 16, they pick their entries for the 17 State Fair.
There's a combination of things they do. That's one way that some of those counties do it. The other way they do it is that they will hold a regional contest prior to the state fair that doesn't happen in conjunction with their county fair. So they'd have essentially a 4-H fair earlier, and then not pick their entries at the county fair.
And I suppose if you were Curry Sherman on the 26th, 27th, you could fundamentally do the same sort of thing as Gillum Lake and Harney.
You could.
Those five counties do some kind of thing that provides entries for this year and maybe some of their entries then go the following year.
Correct. And for the record,
the question is, there some reason we couldn't join them in that type of scenario?
No, and in fact, that's the most palatable in my mind to do that. The two things that make that difficult: A, it's hard to put that in place in one year. You sort of need to think about that ahead of time so that you can make those selections and get those kids off to this year's county fair. You don't want kids to miss, or state fair. You don't want kids to miss this year's state fair because we didn't do our county fair in time. The other thing that makes that a little problematic is that by then we're into the school year. And so they're talking about a much smaller scale fair that's really just a weekend fair, and they're okay with that. You see that most of those are very rural counties and sparsely attended.
Right.
But that with enough notice with the 4-H program for 2018, we could do that. We could likely do that, and that would be my best alternate scenario. I think that would be really tough to put in place this year.
I recognize it'd take a couple of years to put it in place.
Yeah.
Would there be some advantages to us to going that way as opposed to our current situation? Would there be some good reasons why we might want to join those five counties this kind of leapfrog scenario
certainly,
as opposed to going on the 19th or 20th, mm-hmm. which is pretty close to the state fair anyway, and creates some problems of its own. So the pros and cons of different scenarios.
Yeah, and
is there one that, or some reasons why one clearly is favored over the other, or why we shouldn't consider
I think they both have pros and cons. I think the pros of staying in the summer are simply participation. You get more participation when schools are out, when kids can be there. The 4-H program is there for essentially a full 4 days. By the time they bring their animals in on entry day, judging day, and then they're there through the end of the fair. If we were to put that during the school year, they would end up having to do that over just a 2-day period, and it would be a much smaller fair for them as well.
So when did the school year start?
I don't have the school calendar right in front of me.
It's after Labor Day, isn't it?
Yeah.
Although last year, didn't it actually start before Labor Day?
I think it did.
Yeah.
Well, I'm wondering about August 26th, 27th.
I'm not opposed to that. I would even go as far as saying I could poll the 4-H group and see if they think that's a possibility to do for this year. That's only moving our date 1 week, which wouldn't interfere with animal breeding schedules and that sort of thing.
It would be before school would start, would it not?
I believe so, but let's see.
Yeah, so school started September 6th this year, the Tuesday after Labor Day.
I think that's traditional when for Lincoln County School District, isn't it? Immediately
yes.
After Labor Day?
Exactly.
So actually, an alternate scenario could be the 26th, 27th.
Certainly could be.
So what's the proverbial tail that's wagging the dog most of all? Is it the 4-H consideration?
Oh, I don't know that there's one. I guess it depends on which hat you want me to wear. Certainly with my need to facilitate the 4-H program, dates and considerations for them are important, but we also have to have a viable county fair. And the way to, in my mind, the way to do that is to do it when the people are here. If we pick dates, we know that the people are going to be here that third week of August. And frankly, as in wearing my fair administrator hat, I want to be here when the people are here. I want to see those 20, 30, 40,000 people that are going to be in our county at our county fair enjoying what we have to offer. So I don't know what's wagging what. I think there are considerations on both ends.
What about the 4th of July? When you talk about a lot of people being
in town. That gets again pretty early in the season. You'll see that only Multnomah County Fair does it before then because animal production for their 4-H and open class animals are really difficult to have a raised and finished animal by that early in the summer. So I think that early gets problematic.
But the 26th, 27th would only be a 1 week adjustment.
Mm-hmm.
1 week later, which I should imagine would not affect growing season for animals or anything else.
No, it wouldn't.
One way or the other. And if we made, I mean, one of the things I've heard is on the 19th, 20th, we're really too close to the state fair. There's such a short time frame to get our fair taken care of and then get the entries over to the state fair. So, you know, that's the problem we're having at the 19th, 20th. But if we did something like Curry Sherman, Gillum Lake, where they either do some kind of early judging or select this year for next year or do something, maybe that actually helps that situation. It makes our scenario better for our 4-H'ers and so forth.
Yeah, I would only say that I would expect our 4-H, if we do that, our 4-H participation at the county fair would suffer. If we did some sort of prejudging event where they would come get judged in order to be selected for state fair, by the time our county fair came here, they would not probably bring animals to the county fair because they'd be busy prepping for state fair.
Or at state fair. That's already an issue.
Dog and horse would be at state fair by that point already.
So that's one of the challenges with that weekend is you're already on top of state fair events with that fourth weekend. Not undoable, but again, it's just one of those challenges.
Well, again, these other counties have figured out some way to go deal with that.
I think they accept just having a smaller county fair that's not the stature that ours is becoming.
I guess I just think it bears further investigation. Because, again, I'm already hearing that we're too close to the state fair.
Mm-hmm. We're certainly as close as we want to be. There's no doubt about that.
You know, so I guess I'm just going to ask, do a little bit more research, look into it a little bit, think about it a little bit. I mean, maybe it's an alternative that makes some sense for us. I don't know.
just let me throw out a couple of things. I'd appreciate a little more exploration too, but I have had a lot of positive informal feedback about the move to August. Had a couple of farmers say, you know, glad that somebody finally recognized that July is haying time, and so with the move to August, they were able to participate in the fair again. And you know, has this year showed us everything from intense heat to fog that even, you know, there's never a guarantee about weather on the Oregon coast, but August does tend to be much, you can count on better weather in August than in July. I remember some torrential winds and rains, and even in July through the years. So I think, you know, if just on the public voting with their feet, that August is better. But, you know, I do want to acknowledge the concerns of the folks in Toledo, and if there's any way we can accommodate that, great. But, you know, it would be interesting to see maybe a similar summer calendar for just Lincoln County events, because, you know, it's the reality. July, August, and September are the time where everybody wants to hold their public events.
Yeah,
I agree with
it's
that.
It's really hard to avoid some kind of conflicts.
Wayne?
Just a note for this year. I think there are some unique circumstances.
Oh, with the eclipse?
Yeah, and maybe we can get anecdotally get a feel for that and ask Linda, are you booked on that weekend already? You're not at this point. Because what we had heard, we got some feedback from the lodging associations in Lincoln City and in Newport that there is no lodging available that particular weekend. They're telling us that, you know, this anticipation of the eclipse is, you know, incredible in terms of the number of people that can be here. We're already participating with a number of state and local agencies on trying to do prep for this. You know, and Ground Zero is Lincoln County, and that's where this actually is. We've got groups that are booked from Japan, from all over the world, that have booked lodging in the area for that particular weekend. So it's an opportunity. What God was saying,
yeah,
you know, and that's why I wouldn't worry as much about the conflict with the Woods Boat Show. I think both events could potentially benefit from the number of people who are, you know, they got their lodging for the weekend for the Monday morning event, so they're going to be here during the weekend, you know, and looking for things to do. And so it might be just a great opportunity. I have a little reservation about, and we actually even talked about this, Todd. It's funny that you mentioned it, because we haven't talked, you and I, about having the fairgrounds as a potential area for viewing the event that could hold, you know, numbers of people, because they're probably going to be going out to Cape Bellwether, going on to who knows where. 101 could be an absolute mess. You know, it's serious. We kind of laughed about it when we first started looking at this 3 years ago, Pleasantville.
Yeah, I believe so.
3 or 4 years ago, and kind of going about this. The more we hear about this kind of event and what people do, it's you know, depending on the weather.
Yeah.
In some parts. But there's also, because all so many rooms are booked, there's a lot of people who will come here, you know, anyway, whether it's going to be foggy or not.
So I have a question. Is the Wooden Boat Show concentrated on one day or more than one day?
2 days.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
And is it Saturday, Sunday?
I think it's Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah. Saturday, Sunday. The bulk of their events are Saturday, and Sunday runs. They both only run during the day from about 10 to 5. The major stuff is on Saturday, and Sunday is equally active, but like the big boat building and races and stuff are on Saturday.
I don't think we talked about moving 17. I think 17 is pretty well locked. When I'm talking about looking at this alternative, I'm talking about 18 and beyond. Okay? Just to be clear. 17, I think it's locked. It's too late to seriously consider an alternative. 17.
And Jim, I will say that I don't have any problem moving to a date after State Fair or further into the fall. I think if we're not going to make the current year's State Fair, it doesn't matter where we put it. And I'm all for that, and I think we can adjust to make that happen. I wouldn't mind that at all. I just don't think this year is the time to do it, which is what you just said.
Yeah, another question. Isn't enough time, too many logistical issues, I'm sure. I mean, I'm talking 18 at the very earliest, 18 and beyond.
Yeah.
Another question that just pops to mind, if lodging is going to be scarce, is that going to present a challenge for vendors and entertainers?
Yeah, it is. We actually took the initiative to send out a note to our vendors and entertainers both saying, lodging's going to be a challenge. Does this affect you? And most of our people are campers. My hope would be that we would set up a little bit more infrastructure in terms of a sort of a vendor city in that corner lot across Harney Street, that we would bring in power and water and maybe a shower trailer as well. Of course, I'm thinking of those as being fair expenses, not asking the county to pick those up. But we'd have some infrastructure sort of set up there so to make accommodations for camping vendors and entertainers more accommodating.
So what you said earlier, would you consider making it a 4-day fair?
We very much want to. We want to go into Monday, and my thought would be that we ask vendors that want to hold over. We say, listen, there's a unique opportunity. Monday is going to be crazy busy in town. If you're a food vendor, if you're an entertainer, and you want to stay and play and be part of the party and feed the crowd, we'd like to have you stay. So I anticipate that some people will probably pull out on Sunday, and some will choose to stay and make it a continued event at the fairgrounds.
Okay. So I don't.
Can I just suggest that we're, you know, in our planning as a county, we're dealing with what could be an influx. And again, we're not sure exactly, but just from all indications out there, well, we'll need to talk to Todd a little bit more about that. What we don't want to do is overwhelm all of a sudden that area.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we're going to have to do some planning and look at that. And I'd like to at least reserve the option of talking to our folks, especially our emergency services folks, who are trying to deal with this, and look and see what other things might be planned around the county to deal with this particular issue.
But I'm gathering that there's no reason to postpone a decision.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday,
you're talking about 27.
I mean, we need to respond to Toledo so they can be thinking, not waste a month.
Mm-hmm. Well, I understand, and I thought that basically we've reached an agreement that 17 is locked on the 19th.
So. Formalize that.
But we're willing, but we are asking Todd to explore different date for 18 and beyond.
Okay.
It's too late for us to change 17, but we have this other possibility for 18.
But the 17 dates, are they not already pre-approved by us? Hasn't that been decided?
Well, at this point, yes, you had. Basically, you've been.
We don't have to vote on that.
Well, what I'd like is a consensus from the fair board that you're not going to change that.
Okay.
Right. Well, again, I believe it is too late.
Because we had a request. We had a formal request.
I know, but let's follow our guidance here. You think we should have a formal vote?
Yes.
Okay, then.
But 17, 18, and 19, what I would like to reserve is some further discussion on whether or not that carries over into the Monday following. I want to have more discussion and discuss, but
okay.
It's like on Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That's
we're going to set that as the weekend, whether or not Monday will be included for further discussion.
Okay. All right, I would make such a motion.
I would like to make a motion that the Fair Board reaffirms its approval of the third weekend in August 2017 as the dates for the Lincoln County Fair, and also ask that a letter be drafted to the Port of Toledo indicating that we believe that it is too late to consider a move for 2017. However, we are requesting OSU extension to explore a possibility of a different weekend starting in 2018.
I'll second that.
All right. Is there...
And to be clear, we're talking August 19th and 20th is our weekend.
Right.
18, 19, 20. Okay, I want the dates in the record. Yeah. You said third weekend, and let's make it.
Well, that's right, because we were talking about the possibility of a 4-day event. I just wanted
And I'm glad you put the part in about Toledo, because I think they need to know we spent a good deal of time.
They need an acknowledgement.
Yeah. I would like to see, if I may, at some point, a copy of Bud's letter as well. I've had phone conversations with him, but I'd like to know his concerns so we can better address them as well. And I did tell him that we will wholeheartedly explore alternate dates and continue to look. I told him I didn't know if this year we could do anything, but I do want to make that promise good with him if possible, and I'm not opposed to going after State Fair as long as we can put the pieces in place to make that happen.
Okay. All right, any further discussion on that motion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye, it's so unanimous.
And do you have Bud's letter electronically, don't you?
I do. I also have it on the back of your agenda.
Oh, okay. So there you go.
We've struggled with that. Thank you. We've struggled with bleachers for the last number of years. This year, we tried to order some, and the company that Jack ordered from didn't do us any favors and wasn't able to deliver the bleachers. That gave us the good fortune of reaching out to Washington County Fairgrounds, who lent us two of these 45-foot speedy bleachers. And for anybody that hasn't seen them, they're simply amazing. They wheel in, they've got hydraulics, they flip out, and you're good to go. With that, or seeing how amazing those structures are, they're expensive, but I put together a couple of price quotes from a couple of different companies to talk about purchasing those for us. I think there's a possibility, or thought that there was a possibility, that we could use those for other events or rent those for other events around the region. And in fact, just yesterday, Leah from Washington County emailed me and said, Todd, you were thinking about buying more bleachers or sets of bleachers. Turns out Washington County needs a couple more sets for this coming year. If you get some, would you let me know? Because I'd like to rent them from you. Of course, my suggestion would be we owe her at least 1 year because she didn't charge us anything to use those this year. We did pay about $3,000, $2,500 in shipping to get them down here, tow charges. But so what you'll see in front of you are a couple of different options. There's a 45-foot, roughly 270-seat capacity bleacher. And a couple of different price quotes in the $30,000 to $35,000 range, and there are 17-foot bleachers or 27-foot bleachers that are roughly $17,000 to $20,000 each. There's also, I'm waiting on a price quote for some slightly used 27 footers that I think we can get at a significant reduction from that as well. I don't think we have to make a decision right now, but those 10% discounts are only good through the end of the year. They'd want us to order those prior to January 1 to
so
get.
So we need to approve it next month. Then,
I would think, and I can do a little more research, get the figures for the slightly used sets as well. I will say that the Gulf Coast estimates there include shipping, and they said that they will beat any other price quote we get on the Speedy bleachers by 10%. So really, their price is the best, and they're also the outfit that has the used 27s, we could do three sets of 27s or even four sets of 27s, and we'd be outfitted quite nicely. So I just wanted to get that in front of you. I will put together a formal proposal of what I think is best, but including all the options for next Fair Board meeting.
Great. You know what I'd really like to know?
Yeah.
Which ones the cost is? Bleacher on a per seat basis.
Oh, really?
Oh.
Interesting. I'll do that.
Okay.
That'd be interesting.
I mean, if you get a 45 foot one that seats 180 people at so many dollars,
it's divided out.
$3 a seat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe buy two of the 27s and they come in at $2.50 a seat. In order to make a rational comparison between
I agree completely.
The sets of bleachers, the issue is how much per seat are you getting?
I will include that in my numbers for you. That's a great observation.
Mr. Chair, could I ask a couple of questions? Yes. I mean, I like this concept very much, and, you know, I'm wondering if these are really that easy to set up. You know, would it be advantageous for us to look at storing them under some sort of cover when not in use to extend their life? And do we have capacity to do that?
Sorry, I have to laugh because storage is the... Space is the final frontier.
You know, even something like...
It absolutely is. You know, it's absolutely what I was thinking the same thing. No, what I was thinking something. The same thing.
Yeah.
Storage and space is a constant... I've just been in battle for the last 20 years.
I would tell you that without going into the minutia of it, it's possible to go and figure out a way to put them under a cover to extend the life if that's it.
The good thing about this is we might be able to explore. You know, we always try and get storage space close to where we're working.
Right.
You know, this might be the kind of thing that we find a place out and select. And we get some kind of covered storage for very inexpensive. Because it didn't go under 7 or 8 or 10 miles to go back and forth is not that big a deal.
No. You know?
And it might be something we can do there. So
I've got some ideas on that we can talk later.
Okay, let's explore that.
Okay.
So this decision can't hold off a month?
Yeah, I think it can hold a month. I just wanted to get some information in front of you, and I'll have better numbers by next month.
Okay.
Okay.
So what percentage of this is aluminum?
All of the seating is aluminum. The whole trailer chassis is galvanized steel, and they do that simply because at the lengths of these bleachers, aluminum is too flexy to be transportable. They would over time the aluminum would fatigue and break, but they are extremely well galvanized. I would think the lifespan on those would be very, very good.
Particularly if you're
covered. Yeah.
Well, the other thing, while we're going to take a month at this, could we have some discussions with the city as well?
Well, actually, I was thinking that we have discussions with the city, the school district. There's probably other
potential users
of this if we get it. So,
Okay, good.
Do you want me to take over those discussions, or do you want to do that?
Well, the only thing I was thinking, just in timing, and I think that again, for the course of the next 3 or 4 years, you know, these are going to be great. The one thing that I was thinking of, I think this is an incredibly good option, but we're getting into the master plan. We're going to be talking about, you know, how we're going to configure everything outside of the exhibit building, you know, as part of this master plan that's coming up in the next few months. And it'd be nice to know exactly what we finally decide here to see, do we want 2 sets of these? Do you want 4 sets of these? Want 6 cents.
I'm not terribly worried about
it.
They're so portable.
They are portable, they are a fixed asset. Mm-hmm. If you don't like the ones you got, you can trade them in and get the ones you do. They'll be worth something, you know, a year, 2, 3 years from now. It's not like they're going to lose all their value and so forth. So this kind of an asset, if we don't have to make exactly the right choice to fit the master plan 2, 3 years from now, I'm not terribly worried about it. We simply trade these in on the ones that we do need.
Mm-hmm. Does the county have the infrastructure to move them if they need to be moved?
One-ton
diesel truck, they're about 11,000 pounds each. A one-ton diesel truck will move them. Rolly's Towing actually moved them with their tow trucks down from Washington County. Yeah.
Anything else?
Couple more quick ones. Karen Doherty was not able to make it from Pacific Equestrian. She wanted me to ask if they could use the main exhibit hall for their banquet the evening of the 8th, January 8th. That's a Sunday night. Wouldn't conflict with Saturday market. And I told her that I would inquire of that. I believe, I don't think there's anything on the calendar.
And this was what group again?
This is Pacific Equestrian as part of that 10 events for $1,000 that you guys approved early in the summer. Nothing on there. Yeah, I didn't see anything on the calendar.
You know, I just want to mention that there were some things that came up last month, and this is another one of those that I'm not so sure that the board has to. Isn't this something that we could delegate these kinds of decisions?
Sure.
Because it's just a space usage issue. It's not like We're not asking for any policy changes, right?
No, I don't.
Okay. So that's just, however, that has to factor into the way we spend our time. So I think we're saying there's a consensus that
I'll tell Karen to talk with Amy and get it done. And on that note, I will confess that I have had that $1,000 check from Pacific Equestrian made out to the Fair Board in my car since fair. She handed it to me at fair, and I had completely missed that I had it, and I will get that to the county promptly. Okay. Brings us to Barb.
Thank you.
Barb is from Young Life. She contacted us mid-month trying to do a Young Life event. We did host a leader training for her, and she would like to use the Harney Building several Mondays through the year. And we've looked at the calendar together and chatted together, and we can accommodate that within 4-H. That's not a problem. Of course, I think the philosophy of everybody is to get more activity at the fair. Fairgrounds, bring in as many groups as we can and get kids on the fairground, and Young Life certainly does that. I didn't print Barb's schedule, but I did look it over, and it doesn't appear that there are any Monday night conflicts that would be insurmountable. There were a couple where we may have to move one event or the other over to the east side of the main exhibit hall to accommodate, but nothing earth-shattering. So with that, I wanted to introduce Barb, let you guys ask questions, let her make any pitch that I haven't made already on her behalf, and Barb.
Well, again, I think this is a space usage, but we've had Young Life in Newport and as well in Lincoln City and Walport for many years, and it's genuinely impacted the lives of teenagers, and I just brought some brochures. And we've just not begun our club meetings this year with a lack of a meeting space. We have been down at Ingham Marine, but we've outgrown their meeting space upstairs. And then most recently, last year, we were at Sam Kay's cafeteria, and then the school district's changing some policies about outside usage. So we've kind of not known where to go. And we feel like the Harney Building would be really great. And we're nonprofit. We're a volunteer-run area. And most of our budget goes to getting kids to summer camp. Okay. And so, yeah, we're just looking for something affordable. And as I've been sitting here, I was thinking about one of the fundraisers we do for getting kids to camp is a workathon. And we collect sponsors or donors for the work that the kids do all day the first day of summer vacation. So last year that included working for the school district at Newport High doing physical labor, and we also painted part of the fence at the fairgrounds until we ran out of paint. Anyway, and we'd like to do that again this summer, and maybe that's something we can do for you. And
great. So I don't see a problem. This, again, is a space question. And if you and Barb and Amy can work it out, then...
Just one question, Mr. Yeah. Chair. Yeah, and I'm for this, and I know it's a great program, but I just want to check with Mr. Belmont because it is a faith-based program. There's not any issue. I didn't think so, but I just wanted to double-check.
No. Great. So if you have our blessing.
Thank you.
There you go.
Great.
All right, anything else?
One more very quick one. We are, now that we're utilizing the fairgrounds more, we're finding storage space difficult in the Harney Building. We would like to. We have an after-school program now operating 2 days a week there with the possibility of expanding that to 4 days a week. We would like to be able to lock what's always been the 4-H office in the Harney Building and put the after-school supplies in there. That would mean that it probably would not be available for other people, other uses that would use the Harney Building. But I think traditionally nobody really uses that little office space anyway. And I didn't see a problem with it, but I certainly wanted to ask if we might do that.
Does the board see any problem?
I don't think
so. Jack, any concern? Okay, then I'm fine with it.
All right, good to go.
As always, thank you, gentlemen.
All right.
Can I give a little disconnected update,
yes,
a little bit on OSU 4-H? Because as Todd and Michelle are over. We've been talking quite a bit about the relationship between OSU, and not because we know we're doing locally, but we've been talking with more up the ladder at Extension about our relationship and really kind of formalizing it in a much better fashion, I think, on an ongoing basis here to deal with both the fair and maybe activities at the Commons itself there. Mm-hmm. And so we're working on a proposal that's working its way, winding its way through the OSU Extension hierarchy, and including their attorney. Their attorney and I have been talking quite a bit. So I don't want to give any details yet, but I think we're going to be able to get you a proposal. I'm hoping we come back in December and have a very formal proposal that deals with a lot of these issues and really solidifies our relationship with 4-H as it relates to both the grounds and to the fair.
Excellent.
So it's been very productive. It's slow, but productive.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe they'll start a course on managing fairs and fairgrounds.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk to the RFP and master plan update.
All right, as you're aware, that's out. We've received several inquiries about the RFP. I've talked at least with one proposer extensively, and they're putting together a proposal. They are due to us on November 17th, so that's a week from today, actually.
Can you advise us by email how many proposals are received?
Unfortunately, when I made this I'll be gone.
Yes.
Too. So it'll be whoever's here will actually. I mean, it's fine. They're just going to mail them or they'll bring them in. You know, so we'll know. I think you probably won't know until the 21st. Specifically, that's when I'll get back.
And okay.
That. All right. Well, we really kind of analyzed, and I think I don't know if I updated you, but I did have a discussion with the city of Newport, Spencer Neeble. Mm-hmm. Either he or a representative of the city will be on our group that reviews the RFPs. And what we'll do is we'll see how many come in on the 17th, and I will let people know. And we've got our group that's going to be the review committee. I'll let folks know how many we've got, and that'll really kind of set the stage for what our time frame is and how quickly we can review these. If we only have a couple of these, you know, and it may be, it's an interesting. I've just done some other groups. We've done some recent RFPs in which the responses weren't as many as you thought, so there's either a whole lot of work going out there, mm-hmm. or I'm not sure what the reason is. But we may only get two or three responses.
In which case, perhaps we can make a selection in December then?
Oh, yeah. My intent is, if we can do it, is we may make a selection as early as December 2nd. I'm going to be looking at that week following Thanksgiving, the 28th to the 2nd, mm-hmm. to convene the group and review these things. And it'll be a question of, you know, whether or not we need to do a whole bunch of interviews or do a pre-selection process, get down to the ones we're interviewing. But we could move fairly quickly on this, depending on how many come through.
Now, typically what happens, actually, that each member of the selection committee gets a copy of each proposal by the score sheet, and you do that by yourself independently. Mm-hmm. Once that is done, then the group meets and compares notes. And sometimes one proposer just falls out or whatever it is. Sometimes there's two or three that are in contention, and you might say, okay, let's interview them. But I think Wayne is talking about that particular week would be the week when the group would already have their proposals scored and everything and be prepared to meet on that week and compare.
Yeah, I'm looking at working with the group to schedule a meeting on the week of the 24th to the 2nd.
Have we decided, is Jim representing us?
Yeah,
I thought that was
a selection last month.
Yeah.
I mean, on the minutes, it leaves it generic. It doesn't say
what. Well, maybe that's something we should do then, is have you officially select something.
Yeah, and Jim, are you prepared to do that?
I'm prepared to do that, assuming it meets or makes my time frame. I will be gone.
Do you have more grandkids coming?
Well, maybe.
In the next couple weeks?
None that I know of in the next couple of weeks. Yeah. But I do have a family thing that's going to occur December 8th through about the 12th. So as long as we can work around that weekend.
When you go on into this, we're going to have to work around holidays and schedules and stuff, but we'll work with the group to make sure that.
Well, I would.
But if they come the 17th, let me see your calendar. If they come the 17th, that's the due date, and then if staff gets a copy out on either the 18th or the 21st.
That'll be the 21st.
Gets it out on the 21st. That would then give each member of the selection committee the entire, it is Thanksgiving week, I recognize that, but still.
Well, I'll tell you what, time is of an essence for me. So as long as we understand Jim is our primary, and can we make Bill our alternate?
Okay,
for some reason, Jim.
We don't have to vote on that. The minutes will show that that's what we all agree on. So let's go ahead.
We'll work.
Let's talk about the stakeholder sheet that you handed out.
Yeah, and this is just me, based on our conversation over the last several years, just trying to identify, given us something to kind of wrap our heads around in terms of the stakeholder group, and we're working with the selected consultant. And this is really just a quick blurt out to give you something to look at. I'm expecting you're going to want to maybe suggest others or specific names or representatives that might fill some of these slots. But this is kind of what we're looking at for an outreach group, remembering that that's an important component of what we did with this RFP, and we'll be doing a pretty significant public outreach effort in this. So even if they're not members of the stakeholder group, there'll be lots of opportunities for folks to participate in this process to finalize up the master plan.
Well, I think there are some names that we have already discussed or even invited to serve.
I need the list on the record.
Can I run through very quickly? Well, Mr. Chair, I believe Frances Fogarty indicated at a previous meeting that she wanted to serve on the committee. I guess she'd be an interested fair stakeholder, and you said yes. And I believe Thomas Hurst, representing youth sports. I invited former Toledo Mayor Ralph Grunsmacher, who is also involved in the Celtic Festival and has shown a lot of interest in this process and participated, and he was willing to serve. Also, I believe, didn't we say that Karen would be the PEC representative?
She's required to be.
Her last name again is?
Doherty.
Karen Doherty, okay. PEC representative, and I have already contacted Danielle Emmerich, who is the owner-operator at Newport Rental, since they're a main vendor. Let's see, and I believe, but we need to verify this, that Commissioner Hunt received a confirmation from Rich Maloney that he would be the school district representative. So there are several names to start with, anyway.
There was also a person at one of our meetings, a gentleman, I don't remember.
He's in the minutes someplace.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. He expressed interest in the committee.
Well, and again, you know, expressing an interest doesn't mean you appoint him to the
committee. Right,
yeah, right.
There's going to be numerous opportunities for folks to participate in, you know, in providing ideas and review and information to us. Besides that, so one of the things we want to be a little careful with is that if you think it's less than everybody here, you might have an interest or a stakeholder group of 20, 25 people. I'd like to suggest we want to talk to the consultants to say, you know, what's most effective at this in terms of who's on the stakeholder committee versus those that we invite to specific things. Maybe what you do is rather than necessarily being on the committee is we have a specific event around bringing these, you know, selected people or groups in for their input on the plan. So, you know, that's always a nuanced kind of activity here, and I would actually rely a lot on, because at least I know from a couple of responders we've had to this thing, they've got some very, very experienced people. It's not going to just be the typical architects coming in doing these things. They're going to have public, at least in full time closers, they're going to have people who are involved. Their whole purpose is to deal with the public side of this thing and do it a very, very open, transparent, and intensive public outreach part of this.
Well, again, we don't need to get too deep into this today. We've got a fundamental idea and some names.
So I just give you a list to work off of and see if others come in.
Okay, county staff update.
Amy, you don't want to say anything? I was just picking on you today.
Nothing to report.
Jack?
Nothing really to report.
Looks good?
They all look good.
Any last thoughts?
Nope.
guess
okay,
we'll see everybody
very good.
On the 8th.
I guess we are adjourned.
Okay.